Well, it's always an honor to be with the Crossing family. And over the last few summers, spending time with you, coming up there and hanging out over the weekend has been a personal tradition for me now. It's been a great retreat. I've been inspired by traveling up and just being with you and hearing what you're doing and hearing what the Lord is doing through you. And it's just been great. And I'm so sad that I can't be with you in person this year, but I'm so honored that the team would ask me to be back online. And I'm excited about what we're doing in this series called Islands of Stability, and we're going to talk about that today, but I need to get something out of the way real quick. You know, the last few years I've been up here and I've been talking about the Atlanta Braves. I just want to confess the Cardinals actually destroyed the Braves in the final game of the playoff series. You know that, 10 runs in the first inning. Come on, show us some mercy, Crossing. Anyway, hopefully we'll be back to baseball soon, and I wish the Cardinals well, but not too well. So, but again, so honored to be here with you. And if I can, as we're talking about stability, we've all been pushed off balance in these challenging months. I want to take you back to March when this began to really hit for us, and I'm sure for you as well. Personally, my wife Wendy and I were coming home from a dinner with friends. I got home, I turned on ESPN to watch an NBA game, and the breaking news was the NBA has decided to cancel its regular season. And I thought, wait, what? And then that seemed like a series of cancellations from that point, not just, you know, throughout the world, but probably for you personally and for me personally as well. I was scheduled to fly out the next day to go speak at a conference, and that morning I got a call from the conference organizers saying, hey, we've decided to postpone the conference. And then my son, personally, he's a high school senior, so we were looking forward to his final semester and graduation, and yet we celebrated virtual graduation a few weeks ago. But I'll say this about virtual graduation. There's something to be said for virtual graduation when your name is in the middle of the alphabet, Henderson, and when they say your son's name, you can actually click off the television and already be home. So there's something to be said for virtual graduation. I say all that to say, in this season, we've all been knocked off balance, which is why I love the title of the series, Islands of Stability. And early on in this season for me, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, you know, this is just for all of us, just a challenging season, and it's gotten worse, right? And I said, you know, for me as a pastor, it's kind of like trying to lead an invisible church now that we've shifted completely online. And I was having this conversation in early April when all this was happening. And he gave me two words that I want to give to you. So today I want to give you two words, and I want to point you to two chapters in the Bible. In the New Testament. And I think these two words and these two chapters can be stability for you and me as we enter and continue to enter into these challenging days. So first, let me give you the two words that my friend gave me. He's a business guy, has his own set of challenges. And he said, here's the two words I'm leaning into right now, among others, Jeff. He said, I want to give you the words, remember when. Remember when? And I said, okay, what does that mean and how does that help you? How is that an anchor for you? And he said, well, one of the things we all know about life is that life has a season. Seasons come and seasons go. That's a biblical principle. That's even true, for example, global pandemics, that seasons come and seasons go. And once this season is over, we're all going to have these two words, remember when, and then we're going to have the rest of that sentence. Right now, Jeff, my friend was telling me, you're writing the second half of that remember when statement. So write it really well. And when he said that, it was like a light bulb went off on me, and I began to get a different perspective. Even as challenging, even as heartbreaking, even as disappointing and depressing and anxiety-ridden as these days have been and continue to be, when he said, remember when, it kind of jolted me back to go, you know what? There's an opportunity here. What do these days make possible? Along the same lines, I was reading in my personal devotional time through the book of John, and I stumbled upon three verses in John chapter 12 that I've read many times before. And yet these two words, remember when they connected to these three verses, it allowed me to see John chapter 12 in a pivotal new way, so much so that it really helped give me an anchor for these days, or in our vernacular in this season, an island of stability. So what I want to do in our time together today, I want to point you to two chapters in the book of John. John chapter 11 and John chapter 12. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know that John chapter 11 is this pivotal, powerful moment in the ministry of Jesus. It's one of the highlights. It's one of the things that when you point to the highlights of the ministry of Jesus, John chapter 11 is definitely up there in the top. And John chapter 11 begins with the story of three friends of Jesus, Mary, Martha, sisters, and their brother Lazarus. And we're told, if you're familiar with the Bible, you know this story, that Lazarus is sick. And so Mary and Martha go, no big deal. What we're going to do, we're just going to send word to Jesus. And when Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick, he's going to come our way. So they send word to Jesus. Jesus is informed that Lazarus is sick. You know the story. And Jesus decides not to get up and run there. He decides to stick around where he is for two more days. And everyone around him is pretty perplexed. But not only are they perplexed, imagine what happens when Mary and Martha are looking on the horizon for Jesus to show up. And as they do, Lazarus gets more sick and more sick and more sick and eventually dies. Now, eventually Jesus in John 11 shows up on the scene, right? But Mary and Martha, they have a kind of a passive-aggressive stance. They're hurt. They're disappointed, they're disillusioned, they're frustrated, and I think we've all been there before, haven't we? Maybe that's your experience. Maybe that's our experience in this season. God, I didn't think that this would happen. God, where are you? God, where are you now? God, where's this thing going? And so often it's easy, and I totally understand this, to get disillusioned and disappointed with God when God doesn't show up on our timeline. Now, you know the story probably. Jesus eventually shows up. He goes up to the tomb of Lazarus. He says, roll the stone away. And they do. And Jesus prays this amazing prayer and then says, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes not this dead man walking. Here comes this resurrected man walking. He's alive now. So the whole place goes berserk, as you might imagine. What a remarkable story. And John 11 says, many people placed their faith in Jesus at that point. I would imagine so. But then the story picks up in John chapter 12. And that's what I want to point us to today. What happens in John chapter 12? Because this is kind of the aftermath of the story, these three verses. And these are the three verses that I was walking through John during this season that I stumbled onto. And I want to give it to you today, or more importantly than that, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give this to you today. John chapter 12, verse 1 says this, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived. So in John chapter 11, Bethany is described as where Lazarus is sick. Now, because Jesus showed up, it's now described as this is a place where Lazarus now lives. And I think John knows that this is quite the miracle that he actually clarifies that, yes, this is the same Lazarus that died in chapter 11. He says this, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Okay, so just clarifying, yes, this is the same man. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. So you've probably seen this before, right? It's kind of a banquet. And maybe you've been to a retirement party. Maybe you've been to an athletic banquet or an academic banquet or a music banquet when people are given different awards. This isn't just a dinner. This is a dinner given in honor of Jesus. I think there were probably some speeches. I think there were some, hey, remember when Lazarus was dead? Now look at him over there. He's next to Jesus. Imagine the joy. Imagine the celebratory feel of this party. It's got to be an amazing, joyful feeling. And then in the middle of this, Martha is doing something, Lazarus is doing something, and Mary is doing something. And I think these are clues for things for you and I to do in this season when everything seems uncertain, that there is an island of stability, an anchor for us. So this dinner was given in honor of Jesus. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. So I want to point out what's happening in this story, because I think what's happening in this story is a powerful symbolic picture of where you and I are ultimately heading in our relationship with Jesus. So let me point you to what Martha is doing. So Martha is serving, right? So she's at this dinner party, and there is so much joy, so much celebration, because they know, and imagine this, there are people at this party who had attended the funeral of Lazarus, and now they're at a party with Lazarus. That's the feeling of this party. And as Martha is serving, I wonder if she has a flashback to John chapter 11, if you will. So she's serving, and maybe she catches the eye of Jesus, and she smiles at Jesus because she looks at Lazarus, and maybe Jesus smiles back at her. I wonder, you know, these are friends. I wonder if maybe Jesus teased them a little bit. You know, hey, Martha and Mary were a little put out with me. They were a little angry with me because I didn't show up on time. And then maybe Lazarus teased Jesus back and said, well, you know, they had good reason, Jesus. I was dead. And I think there was just this laughter, this joy, this, can you believe this actually happened? So as Martha is serving, though, I wonder if she had a flashback to this moment. Let me read this moment. When Jesus appears on the scene, Mary doesn't come out at first. Martha goes out. So on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, to confront him. And Mary stayed at home. And this is what Martha said to Jesus. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know now that God will even give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. So fast forward back to John chapter 12. Here's Martha. And she's serving in this moment. I wonder if she bounces back and forth between John chapter 11 and John chapter 12. Here's why I'm sharing this with you. Right now, do you know where you and I are? We're in John chapter 11, the first part of John chapter 11. There's disappointment. There's confusion. There is, God, where are you? There is this question for Martha and Mary. Lord, if you had been here, none of this would have happened. And yet, while the first part of John chapter 11 is where we find ourselves, the reason John chapter 12 is so important is that's a picture of where you and I are headed. Don't miss this. Jesus has told you, if you've placed your faith in him, that he has gone to prepare a place for you and he is coming back for you. The scriptures teach that we're going to be at this massive party, much like John chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and we're going to be there with Jesus. And when that party happens, when we find ourselves, if you will, in John chapter 12 of eternity, when we say, remember when in 2020, what do we want to be true about the rest of that statement? That's where we're headed. That's why, one of the reasons why John chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3 are so important for you, because it's not reserved for Martha. It's not reserved for Lazarus. It's not reserved for Mary. You're headed there. I'm headed there. We're headed to a party with Jesus forever. And when we look back on the John chapter 11 moments in our lives, we want to have something really powerful to say. See, here's our bottom line for today. When it comes to John chapter 11, the death of Lazarus is a chapter. The faithfulness of Jesus is the story. Let me say that again. The death of Lazarus is a chapter. The faithfulness of Jesus is the story. And the reason that's important for you, and the reason that's important for me, is this, that the challenges in our lives are chapters. But the faithfulness of Jesus is the ultimate story. Yes, you and I are going to have disappointments. Yes, you and I are going to have devastating moments in our lives. That's a part of life. Jesus told us that. Don't be surprised by that. But the challenges and the heartbreaks of our lives, not making light of them, not trying to deny them, not trying to dismiss them. But at the end of the day, the challenges of our lives are chapters. The faithfulness of Jesus is the story that lasts forever. So what that means for you and me, when we find ourselves in the first part of John chapter 11 in our lives, we can't miss the vision of where we are ultimately heading, because John chapter 12, a party, a feast in honor of Jesus, is there in our future. And in that moment, those two words that I mentioned at the very beginning, remember when we're at this party with Jesus, we want to be able in this season to say, remember when 2020 happened, and this is how I led and served and lived. And when we do, you know what it provides for us? It provides an island of stability, an anchor for our souls. Now, that doesn't mean that we get it perfect all the time, not by any stretch. It doesn't mean that we're not authentic. It doesn't mean that we're not real. It doesn't mean that we don't express our doubts. None of that. It means that we bring all of that to the table. But at the end of the day, knowing that John chapter 12, those first three verses are a picture of where we're heading, that ultimately we live these days with the vision before us, knowing that every day is an opportunity for us to write a new sentence, a new chapter in the remember when moments that we now find ourselves in. And I'm not trying to be critical of Martha, certainly not trying to be critical of Mary. They had a devastating loss. But I wonder if they were at that party, if they found themselves with a little bit of a tinge of disappointment, that they didn't see what Jesus saw. Again, not trying to be critical at all of Mary and Martha, but I'm just saying in this moment, they experienced and saw Jesus for who he really is. And when we lose sight of who Jesus is, when we lose sight of who we're dealing with here, the circumstances of these days will begin to produce anxiety that we cannot control, depression that we can't deal with, unless we look at Jesus and know that he is with us and he is writing a greater story than even we might possibly see at the moment. See, I believe what Jesus is doing in your life and our lives and my life is he's writing a great story. And when we get to this moment, we're going to look back and we're going to see what Jesus was doing the whole time. That's exactly where Mary is. That's exactly where Martha is. And that's exactly where Lazarus is. In fact, I want to point out to you the three things that I think we need to be doing in this season. But as we do, I want to point out something that's really interesting in this story. As Mary takes this expensive perfume and she pours it on the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair, the final part of verse 3 says this, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. What's so interesting to me is that this verse is right across on the same part of the page that says this. Let me get my glasses again. Jesus says, take the stone away. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. So you have this in John chapter 11, and on the very next page, you have a sweet-smelling perfume filling the room. I think that shows the contrast. Hey, we're over here right now, some challenging days. But you know what Jesus does? He brings beauty out of ashes. He brings hope out of despair. He brings life out of death. And someday, in some way, he's going to bring all of this together for our good and his glory forever. That's the Jesus we're dealing with. So knowing that, there are three things that I want to give you to do that will allow you to be stable, I think, in these days, to have an anchor in these days. That ultimately, it's not these words. Ultimately, it's not these three things. Ultimately, they all go back to Jesus, because this is all of these three things are connected to him. First, the first thing I think we see here is that Martha served. She's at this dinner party, and you know, the thing we know about Martha is that she's a servant from the very beginning, right? So this isn't anything new to her. But I think this time now she's serving with a different vision of hope, because again, as I mentioned earlier, I think she paused at this dinner party every now and then and just stood there in awe with her mouth just hanging open, going, oh my goodness, I attended my brother's funeral and there he is laughing and eating dinner with Jesus. And that hope in her, I think she served with a level of hope that she had never quite served with before, because now she saw Jesus for who he truly was. And you might say, well, Jeff, I mean, with all due respect, Martha has a pretty big advantage on us, right? I mean, she had a loved one who died and is now brought back from the dead. That's true. She has a little bit of an advantage on us to have that kind of a vision of hope. But we have an advantage over Martha because she had not yet seen a risen Savior. She did not know that that story was coming. And now you and I know the truth that Lazarus wasn't the only person in that room that night that was going to come back from the dead. And knowing who Jesus is, we can have a vision of hope once we set our eyes on the fact that our Savior is alive. That's our stability. He is our anchor. And when we do that, we serve the world around us with hope. And here's what I mean by that. We are, if you're a follower of Jesus today, we should be, and we are distributors of hope. In a world of so much angst and so much criticism and so much bickering back and forth, the church should be a bright beacon of hope, distributors of hope. No one is better positioned in these days to be distributors of hope quite like the local church, which is why I'm so inspired by what you're doing, Crossing. Even in these days, as you've pivoted like so many of us have to online and all of that, you've been doing that way before we had to pivot. But what you're doing to show your community that you're for them, you are distributors of hope. And so maybe a way to look at this when I say that Martha served with a new vision of hope and that we are distributors of hope, maybe a way to look at this is a friend of mine, Glenn Jackson. He's a business guy here in Atlanta. He says, in these days, it's important for us to transform but then moments to and then moments. That's what people of hope do. Now, what is transforming a but then moment into an and then moment? He says, we've all had but then moments in this season. I had goals for my business in 2020, but then the virus hit. I had goals to get to experience walking across that stage for a high school graduation, but then the virus hit. I had goals for this relationship, but then this happened. But for followers of Jesus, the but then moments are not complete sentences. You put a comma after that, and then you say, and then I kept moving. And then my faith in Jesus allowed me to take one step forward today. And then I kept on praying. And then I kept on reading the Bible. And then I kept asking God for help. And you transform, the way you transform those but then moments into and then moments is to catch a vision of the future of John chapter 12 that you are headed into. Because there's going to come a day when you look back and go, remember when? And whatever you say next is going to be an opportunity for you in this moment to write it now for then. So Martha served with a newfound vision of hope of who Jesus is. And that's where we're headed. So Martha served Lazarus, you know, pretty cool story for him, right? Lazarus reclined. And so the scripture says that Martha served while Lazarus was sitting among those reclining at the table with Jesus. So here's Lazarus, and I think he would say this to us. Dying has a way of putting life in perspective. Dying has a way of putting life in perspective. Lazarus wasn't running around. The most important thing to him was just being with Jesus. If you want to know how to have an island or an anchor of stability in this moment, in this season. One of the most important things that you and I can do is to spend more time with Jesus. Because for Lazarus, the most important thing was just being with Jesus. And guess what? It still is. So while Martha served Jesus with hope, and she was a distributor of hope in that moment, and the church should be distributors of hope, we should also practice self-care and rest and recline and spend time with Jesus. So let me ask you, how are your self-care rhythms these days? What are self-care rhythms? Well, are you getting enough sleep? How are you taking care of yourself physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally? Are you spending a lot of time on this thing, or are you spending a lot of time here? Not a guilt trip. Not trying to put you on a guilt trip. But one of the most important things I think we can do is to make sure that we are spending quality time reclining with Jesus. So I want to encourage you over the next week to limit time on social media. Maybe even limit time reading or watching the news. I've limited myself to 2 times a day. Check the news in the morning in the stock market and check it at the afternoon in the stock market, and then I'm done. Not trying to be dismissive of any of that, but I can't soak myself into that and come out of it the kind of person I want to be. I've got to soak myself in more time reclining and resting and being with Jesus. And Lazarus teaches us that. So Martha served, Lazarus reclined. So let us serve with hope. Let us be distributors of hope, because we are perfectly positioned in this season to be that way as the church. But ultimately, let's spend more time than ever before with Jesus. Let's recline and spend time with him. Let's practice self-care. And then finally, Mary poured out her best. Mary took this expensive perfume and she poured out her very best. Now, the reason I think this is important is because I think in this season, it's easy to kind of live in the land of excuses, right? We're in a global pandemic. I'm not gonna try very hard at work. Or there's so much strife. There's so much racial injustice. There's so much difficulty out there. I'm just going to try to ignore all of it and binge on Netflix. Not saying that there's anything wrong with binging on Netflix, but if that's all we're doing night in and night out, I don't know that we are delivering our best to the world. Because there's coming a day when we're going to be in our version of John chapter 12, and we're going to have a remember when moment. And I'm not quite sure, hang with me, I'm not quite sure that we want to say, remember when 2020 happened and I basically binged out on Netflix every single day. Not trying to be critical, not trying to be judgmental, not saying we shouldn't do that every now and then, but I don't think that's bringing our very best to the table. And so Mary takes out this expensive perfume and she pours it out on Jesus. So let me ask you this question. What would it look like this week to bring your very best to Jesus? At work? At home? Taking care of yourself physically? I'm not saying change your life for the rest of the year. Well, that'd be great. I'm saying, what would it look like to bring your best and pour yourself out in the very best possible way? Let's just try it this week. And when you look at this story in John chapter 12, we see that Martha served with hope, this renewed hope of look at what Jesus did. That moment's coming for us. Lazarus reclined next to Jesus and rested and spent time with Jesus. And then Mary poured out her very best. I think if you and I do that, I think in this season, if we will serve with hope, if we will rest and recline with Jesus, and if we will allow that to allow us to pour out our very best in our relationships at work or at home, and in and upon our Savior, that when that happens, we're going to have some fantastic answers to remember when 2020 happened. Because here's what I believe about you. Here's what I believe about me. That moment is coming. It's a promise in the scriptures. There's going to be a feast. There's going to be a party. Jesus has prepared a place for you, and he's coming back to take you there. And when that moment happens, my hope for all of us is that we're going to look back on these days and see that we have some amazing responses to remember when 2020 happened. You know this. This is not, these aren't my words. Let me just read them in closing from Jesus. In John chapter 14, he says this to you and to me. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place to where I'm going. Jesus is saying, hey, you know where I'm going. You know where ultimately this is going, that you and I will be together in eternity, and we're going to be able to look back on this season and others. And this isn't about perfection. What this is about is day in and day out serving, resting with Jesus, and pouring out our very best for him. And when we do, Jesus takes our efforts with his faithfulness and writes a beautiful story that we will celebrate forever and forever and forever. Because the truth is this, when it comes to John chapter 11 and John chapter 12, the death of Lazarus was a chapter. The faithfulness of Jesus was the story. The challenges of your life, they're the chapters. But the faithfulness of Jesus, that ultimately is the story. And that ultimately is who you're trusting. And that ultimately provides a person of stability, a savior of stability. That's who we're dealing with here. Now, in closing, some of you know I'm a preacher's kid, and my dad pastored a church not too far from here when he was alive. My dad passed away 7 years ago. And years ago, when I was a little boy, there was one of his heroes that came to preach that day at our local church. And at the end of the day, at the end of the service, everyone had left. And it was this man. His name was Dr. Louis B. Newton. And my dad, myself, and my younger brother, I think we were maybe 8 and 6 at the time. So young kids. So Dr. Newton was a rather tall man. So at the end of the conversation, he was saying bye, and he leans down to us, and now he's at eye level. He bends down. He's now at eye level with my brother John and me. And he points to my dad's feet, right, which is a little odd. And he goes, gentlemen, see these feet? Follow them. Follow them. I think in many respects, that's what Mary is doing for you and for me right now. In fact, when you look at John chapter 12, Mary takes this expensive perfume, pours it on the feet of Jesus, and begins to wipe his feet with her hair. But I think as she does, she probably has a flashback to the last time that she had been at the feet of Jesus. Let me share with you what happened the last time that Mary was at the feet of Jesus. John chapter 11, verse 31 says, when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. But no, she was going to confront Jesus. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And now go to John chapter 12. I think the reason Mary is worshiping and anointing the feet of Jesus was because she wanted to make amends for the last time she fell at the feet of Jesus and said, where were you? Here's why I tell you this. In this moment, is it okay to have doubts? I sure hope so, because I do. Is it okay to express that and be disappointed and look at this and go, Lord, and ask, Lord, where are you? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, through all of that, we have a risen Savior who someday we will be next to. And this season is an opportunity for him to write an amazing story through your life in these challenging days. So the remember when moments are coming. The remember when moments are happening right now. So would you, my dear brothers and sisters of the Crossing, would you allow the faithfulness of Jesus to be an island of stability for you so that you would allow him to write an amazing story of his faithfulness? We may not be able to see it right now, but we will see it one day. In between those, let us be people who serve with hope. Let us be people who recline and spend time with Jesus. And may we be people who pour out our best in these challenging days. And when we do, someday, Jesus is going to be smiling next to us as we say, hey, remember 2020. And you and I will have some amazing stories of his faithfulness to share. Father, we love you. Thank you for Pastor Greg and the whole amazing team, The Crossing. I pray for the continued health. I pray for our nation, our country, our world. And God, in this moment, may we be people of John chapter 12, people who serve with a vision of hope. May we rest and spend time with you. May we pour out our best this week. And I pray for this team. I pray for this church. Thank you for the beacon of light that they are in their community and beyond. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.